Hello friends, this is Harry Venton speaking, and it is my pleasure once more to extend to you all a warm welcome to our program today. It is good that we can be together to enjoy this half hour of Christian radio fellowship. The program you are tuned to is Times of Refreshing, brought to you under the auspices of the Voice of Melody Victoria. We trust our selection of gospel songs and the message we bring you from the Word of God will be uplifting and a spiritual blessing to all. Psalm 100 is a psalm consisting of just five verses. It is a beautiful psalm of praise. Before we open our program musically, I would like to share it with you, reading from the Authorized Version. Verse 1 begins with, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." When we begin to grasp the wonder of our position in Christ, our hearts will be filled with boundless gratitude for the grace of God. Even if we have little of this world's goods, the joy of our adoption, our placing as sons and daughters in God's family, will enable us to respond to Him with daily thanksgiving. As we are the object of God's love, His mercy and grace, He should also be the object of our praise and gratitude. daily, we should engage in this spiritual exercise of giving praise and thanks to Him. There is a story told of a godly woman who lived in the 1700s. By our standard of living, she would be considered to be very poor. Despite her state of poverty, she had a wonderful testimony and love for her Saviour. She could say, "I don't know when I have had happier times in my soul than when I have been sitting at work with nothing before me but a dim candle and the white cloth I am sewing, and hearing no sound but that of my own breath, with God in my heart and heaven in my eyes. I rejoice in being exactly what I am, a creature capable of loving God, and who, as long as God lives, must be happy. I get up and look for a while out of the window, and gaze at the moon and stars, the work of an almighty hand. I think too of the grandeur of the universe, and then sit down and think myself one of the happiest beings in it." My friends, that woman's thanksgiving did not depend upon the amount of material goods she had accumulated. No, her heart was filled with and overflowed with gratitude because she had been born again and was a child of God. Only the born-again believer is capable of that kind of thanksgiving. Verse 3 of Psalm 100 says, "We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Friends, we are not only His by creation, but also through the avenue of our spiritual new birth. When we are saved, we belong to Him, and He lovingly cares and provides for us. Therefore, the born-again believer should be daily in His presence with the voice of thanksgiving and praise. May you be able to say, as the unknown poet has written, "For blessings that I have in Christ, my daily thanks I bring. With joy I now lift up my voice to praise my Lord and King."
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of I'm alone, but for eternity, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
I want to share with you now a few thoughts from verse 20 in Galatians chapter 2. Words that were spoken by the Apostle Paul. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. This verse of Scripture tells us of the death of one who was sinless, for our Lord Jesus Christ never sinned in thought or word or deed. So perfect was his life on earth, he was able to testify at the close of his life and say in his great intercessory prayer to his Father in heaven, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. John 17 and verse 4. In every thought and word and act he perfectly did the will of God and was always pleasing to him. Proverbs 8 and verse 30 says, he was daily his delight, and yet he died for you and me. He tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Friends, it was an absolute necessity for our Lord Jesus Christ to die. He came for that very purpose. He announced to his disciples again and again that he would be delivered into the hands of wicked men and be killed. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And even before the foundation of the world, he was foreordained by God to be the Lamb by whose precious blood believers were to be redeemed. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. The death of Christ on the cross was the very centre of God's great plan of redemption, and upon it depends every blessing purposed by God. Not only was Christ's death necessary, his death was voluntary. He gave himself an offering to God. No one, not even Satan himself, could take his life from him as much as he tried. Death could not touch him. He was deathless, for he was sinless. He boldly declared, I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. John 10, verses 17 and 18. The fact that his death was voluntary is a witness to his deity. For the centurion, looking on at the crucifixion, was convinced that he was none other than the Son of God. Mark 15 and verse 39. Friends, the Bible clearly tells us that death is the penalty for sin, and the sinner therefore must die unless someone voluntarily takes his place, and that substitute must be an innocent one. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, impelled by love transcendent, voluntarily died. And God so loved the world that he voluntarily gave up his beloved Son to the death of the cross. Nor did he spare him one awful blow of the extreme penalty due to sin. The full acceptance by God of that willing sacrifice was signified by his raising Christ from among the dead. And now it remains for sinners to voluntarily accept the Lord Jesus as their substitute, and by so doing, receive the full and free forgiveness of all their sins and find perfect acceptance with God in Christ. As surely as the sacrifice was voluntary, so surely must the faith that accepts its benefits be voluntary. Friends, listen as I again quote the words of Galatians 2 and verse 20. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. By his death on the cross, Christ put away sin and made it possible for everyone, however sinful, to come to God and be received into the most blessed fellowship And all who do come to God in faith, with sincere confession of one's sin and guilt, and with true repentance of heart, will be received into God's great family, becoming a child of God, with this blessed hope of living and reigning with Him eternally.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. Take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me.
One day an English diamond merchant was packing some diamonds which he was going to send to a diamond trader in India. The merchant wrapped each one separately with great care for its long journey. Although the merchant did not love the Bible, he had a copy of the Gospel of John in his office. As he came to wrap the last and most costly diamond, he wanted some soft paper. So he tore from the Gospel of John, God's holy word, the first three chapters, and wrapped his best diamond in it. Months passed by and the diamond trader in India received the diamonds. But as he unwrapped them, he found something that interested him far more than the precious stones. It was what he read on the torn pages of the Word of God. These words: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This trader was astonished at such words. "Why did I not know about this Saviour before?" he exclaimed. "This is the real diamond. It is better than all the precious stones in the world." The diamond trader of India believed the words he read. He received Jesus Christ as his own personal saviour, and the Lord Jesus became very precious to his heart. With the crumpled pages of the gospel in his hand, he went out to tell others about his new find. Many listened to what he had to say, and men and women, boys and girls were saved. Later, when the first missionary came to the village, he found a large gathering of native Christians, those whom the Indian trader had won to Christ. Friends, he was a man touched by the deep, compassionate love of the Lord Jesus, and by the demonstration of such love at Calvary, he was moved to serve the one who so willingly gave his life to save his precious soul. He could now say, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." Yes, it was Christ's love for him that constrained him, that compelled him to yield his heart and life to his Saviour and Lord. As I am speaking with you today, is there someone listening who has not yet given over their life to Jesus Christ? How can you delay to give him all your heart and yield to him all your life when he so blessed you with the joy of his wonderful salvation? God, in his infinite wisdom, knew the greatness of your need as a sinner. It was on the cross that sin was dealt with, root and branch, both in its originality and individuality. Only God, who is all-wise, could have done this. No other could have gone back so far as to take in the first sin and the first sinner of the human race. The largest computer man could ever make could never add up all the sins that were laid upon our blessed Saviour. But God knew them all, and Christ paid the price in making atonement for all. In return for the demonstration of such matchless love, grace and mercy toward us, our Lord Jesus is seeking those who will respond to his call to take up his cross and follow him. We read of this call in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." According to our Saviour's definition, a cross is something we assume voluntarily. It calls for death to self. Friends, this cross entails suffering for the sake of Christ. It involves putting love for the Saviour before one's own pleasure. It means bringing glory to God, not seeking the applause of men. Dragged crosses are always heavy, but those that are carried willingly are accompanied by the joy of the Lord. Christ offers a crown only to those who take up his cross.
Savior, my heart is thine, keep it for me.
Glorify me, O
Friends, as another enjoyable half hour with you draws to a close, we remind you of our cassette ministry. A copy of today's program is available free and post-paid. If you would like a copy for yourself or to pass on to a friend or neighbour, just mail your request to Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 31400. Be sure when writing to include in your letter this number, 916, program number 916. And our mailing address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 31400. Today's broadcast of Times of Refreshing has been a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria, and is made possible by God's provision through His people. We thank you, friends, for your company today, and till next we meet, this is Harry Venton, wishing you God's richest blessing. Goodbye for now, and remember, keep looking up.